All right. Okay, so we're going to start with a nice, fun question first to go around. And what is your favorite feature moment of the game? I say so far. I was about to say so far, but the game in total. Your favorite feature or moment?
Feature or moment?
Feature or moment. It could be moment. Well, let's just go with, you know, moment. Let's just go with your favorite moment of the game so far. Battle. Well, go ahead, Franco.
I thought the ending was really well done. The part of the game. It was the best time they actually, you know, used a good long and descriptive and showy cutscene that actually, you know, drew you in.
Mm-hmm.
Was your favorite moment of the game when you learned you could slow down time and take a turn?
Well, that, I don't know, favorite, but certainly my biggest head slap. I could have had a V8.
Anybody else do that?
No, okay. I figured that out.
Poor Franco.
Sorry, Frank.
Hey, I did it the hard way. Now I challenge you.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
It's true. I could not beat the game that way. I just, no. I'm not mad enough for that.
How the heck did you beat the haircuts without slowing down time?
Just stop moving very quickly all around.
Franco is that good, guys. He's that good.
Well, I would just generally reconfigure to like into a defensive posture.
Wow. Yeah,
there were some neat defensive functions where you get.
I would not want to fight you.
Yeah. Where you get a second copy of yourself and a shield. Yep. Yeah.
I wish I could have seen that moment where you discovered it.
The fly on the wall.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Franco beating his head against the desk.
Yes, you have got to be kidding me.
Who else? Any other favorite moments?
I really liked the final boss fight with Royce. I thought it was really clever to have, you know, somebody with your mirrored abilities.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really enjoyable fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I liked the what do you call it? There was a fight with the. It gave me a hard time, but it was that spike thing. What the heck was that thing called? I wrote it down, but.
Oh yeah.
The spine.
Yeah, the spine.
Yeah.
I liked that section of the game. I didn't really like the fight. The fight I thought was really difficult. He kicked my butt like 7 times before I finally figured out how to beat him.
Yeah.
But I liked that whole area. That was kind of where the meat of the story was sort of starting to unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like my. It wasn't like a great moment in the game, but I just found it very interesting. When she was talking with was it Grant? Who was the last guy that you went against? Was that Grant or that was Grant?
No, Royce was the last one.
Yeah, Royce.
Royce. Why did I think it was okay?
Grant
anyways.
Was I think the other guy who shot
but,
himself.
Yeah, but he was, you know, following you around on the television. I think pretty much everything up like where he was following you around the monitor at first, mm-hmm. and just his whole dialogue. While he was on the monitor, kind of gave you a peek into just like the explanation of the process and kind of how it got out of control with them. And I just found that very interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. It was unexpected.
Yeah. 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 Like that, well, and there was one part that, and I put it in my notes, but there was one part where, and it's not by far like my favorite moment, but just a very interesting moment that I liked was that he was talking about the process and he was saying something like, well, talking about something like, well, you know, the process can build a bridge from one point to another. Well, why wouldn't you want a bridge? You know, it's useful, but just the way that he said it made it, you know, you're just kind of like, oh, well, of course, like, I don't know. I'm doing a horrible time of explaining that, but I'm just going to stop there because I'm just going over my words.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts before we move on?
I didn't really like the game.
You didn't really like it?
No. I mean, I'll save most of it for later, but I couldn't get into just the whole storytelling, and I don't know. The story wasn't grabbing me. The gameplay wasn't doing it for me, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're alone there. I wasn't like completely against it. I felt a little bit like you two, though. Yeah. I had a hard time connecting with the game, but
yeah, I was going to say up until you get to the Camerata, the storytelling was really thin, and it was just mm-hmm. like, and even at the end when she, makes her choice, it's like, geez, I understand her choice, but the game didn't really tell me enough about their relationship to justify the choice.
That's true.
Yeah, I still don't know what the heck happened.
Yeah, I wish they'd been like I get the whole subtle storytelling thing, but you can be a little bit explicit just for the sake of knowing what the heck's going on.
True. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, we can get more, we can expand more on that in a few minutes, so why don't we talk about the game a little bit and just sort of what we got out of it. So, I mean, the process is obviously a big part of the game, so let's talk about the process. So, what does it mean, or what did it mean for Cloud Bank? What do you think of it as a whole? Was it a good idea or a bad idea? How did it correlate to the world today? What do you think the designers and the writers are trying to say about the process? What did it represent, perhaps? Stone, that kind of thing. And I thought it was interesting in sort of thinking about this. Towards the end, you see them start to resemble humans a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was intrigued by that. So thoughts. Let's discuss that for a little bit. It's obviously a big part of the game.
So that was the confusing thing for me too, is was the process made of people? Because I think I remember them saying at some point if they're around enough, they start to resemble the people themselves. So it almost sounded like if they survive long enough, they start to kind of turn into their old form or something like that. I don't know.
Well, did any of you guys use the limiters and read the little notes that came when you used the limiters a bunch?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Because there was one for the little lady that it mentions, it's weird that it looks like a human woman, and it's because the process is starting to resemble their prey. Or, they're sort of starting to almost fall in love with humanity as they're, I wouldn't necessarily say this is actually humanity, but whatever it is,
right.
They're falling in love with the human
form,
I guess.
Yeah. Huh.
Go ahead. Go ahead, you first.
Well, I was going to say is that I didn't read a lot of those, I read some of the notes at the beginning on the limiters and stuff, but then I just kind of got lazy and just kind of went through everything. But I never even connected to people like that. Like Chris was saying, I kind of just thought it was the process was like the quote unquote process of things turning into more kind of a unified. Kind of government, mass control, government controlled entity of, everything looking the same and everything just kind of becoming this kind of almost like one technological mind, almost like a hive mind.
Yeah, that kind of evolved
on
its own and became stronger and wiped out humanity or something like that.
Yeah.
Although I don't really know like how long, there were obviously still people because we see them. No, I don't know how many. The way it made it sound at the end was that the
process. See people?
See the guys that shoot themselves or whatever, right? And they kill them.
Asher and Grant. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're alive before you get to them.
Yes. I think
they finish themselves off before.
Yes, kind of hold up in their room.
Yeah, and then the guy at the end, all these Royce, I think was his name.
Yeah.
I don't know, is the idea of the process wiped out humanity completely, or is there a few stragglers that are kind of trying to... there's obviously some that are trying to embrace it,
Well, they kind of, and I don't think it necessarily wiped out everyone. Didn't the OVC kind of talk about, you kind of watched, or you kind of read the announcer woman that did a lot of the broadcasts, she said something like that they had evacuated the city. Because the process was taking over.
That's true.
So I think a lot of people just kind of left, and then probably the Camerata stayed around because they're the ones that brought it on, and they were well, especially Royce, he was kind of hellbent on kind of taking over the, you know, kind of fighting back, you know, taking over the process again with Transistor and turning it into something that he wanted.
That's true. It's a little more, heady than I would have gotten, but because I was just like, yeah, this game's fun. Ha, ha, ha. Going to beat this game. Ha, ha, ha.
It was kind of like they came up with a game mechanic and a developed a mechanic and sort of like put the story on top instead of like coming up with a story and building a game mechanic underneath it.
I can see that.
It's like, ooh, we got this cool thing with this, you know, processes and these things that spawn and stuff like that. Now let's just sort of like put a story on top of it to get it out there.
It's weird because it seems almost to me like they had a team of people and they sat down to have a story writing meeting and like there were five different ideas and they said, what if we just mash all these together? Like,
yeah.
Because they're, the story, I mean, it, there's like overall coherent themes, but I feel like there's a lot of contradictions within the story that don't, I don't know. I feel like there's too many different things going on.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think it really knew what it wanted to be. I mean, Bastion was so much more concise and like made sense and was kind of grounded somewhat in reality. I don't know. Did you play Bastion, Stanton?
I haven't finished it yet.
Did you like that better than Transistor?
From what I think Bastion had a better narrative as
well.
Yeah,
I was going to say that. I think the narrative is far better.
And it made sense.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense. Yeah.
So I guess Transistor, I'm looking at their the developer's website just off of a whim, and I guess Transistor was their latest one. They haven't made one since then.
Yep.
Right. They're relatively new. I mean, they've only done Bastion and Transistor.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Transistor was like 2 years old now or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
no, go ahead, Franco.
As the mechanic goes, I really warmed to the mechanic as I got along, where, you know, as I got more and more functions and more ways of, you know, blending the two and seeing what the effects of them were, you know, that sort of, you know, was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a gameplay perspective, the, you know, the customization of combat was really fun. I enjoyed that aspect of it, even if it did get competitive towards the end, but, yeah, I really liked that.
I just wish they explained it better.
Yeah.
I mean, they just threw you in there, and I was fumbling around a lot of the time because, you know, it was, okay, so what's the best thing to do? And then, you know, you have all these other things, and it seemed like some of the stuff that I had put into the extra slots didn't really work, or if they did, I didn't notice anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just felt like I was stumbling through the whole game.
I probably didn't notice until the last half, maybe 45 minutes of gameplay, that when you add a, you know, like an extra thing onto one of your abilities, that it tells you in the you know, in the menu, like how adding that to that, you know, to that ability will affect it, like what it will do. Yeah. I didn't realize that until about 45 minutes toward you know, until the end of the game.
I still feel like it kind of told, like it didn't, it wasn't so specific. Like I agree with you, Chris, because I was lost. I mean, I think more than halfway through the game, I was like, I don't know what these things do. I keep forgetting. Like, and then when you lose one, forget it. It's like you have to restart basically, and so, then you forget where you were in the first place.
It was a lot of reading, but even the reading didn't really seem obvious when you were reading it as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So and. You know, it got to the point for me where I just got so frustrated with it that I wasn't having fun playing it, so I just stopped and ended up watching YouTube videos of the rest of it. Because I'm like, I'm done at this point. I'll finish watching it just because I'm this invested in it this far. But but other than that, I'm done with this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. As somebody who had to play with the functions a lot, doing not having turn, it was interesting. It got to be interesting because it was like some functions that seemed worthless, or it looks like, it doesn't do much. But then you go look at its passive ability.
Yeah.
I forget which one it was. It was like, this is really, really meant to be a passive ability.
Yeah.
It really, it's a big bonus on the passive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I didn't even understand the limiters, to be honest with you.
I didn't either.
It was like a min-max kind of thing. It's like you got a 2%, you got a little bonus in experience.
Right, but they...
there was a penalty to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, it would just make the game harder in order... And I mean, I'm just a nerd for experience, so that's why I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I stopped using them after I realized how heavily they were penalizing me.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did. It's like
I used them through the entire thing.
Well, I turned all of them off right before the final boss fight because I was like, "This is obviously the final boss fight. Why do I care about more experience?" So.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on to question two. Grant and Asher. Are the two that killed themselves, and they did that before Red and Transistor could get to them in their study or wherever that they were. Did you feel sympathetic for them since they were basically part of unleashing the process and they lost control of it? Or do you think that it was a cowardly action to keep them from confronting someone for their mistake? And because of their actions, do you consider them bad guys or just inventors whose machine spiraled out of control?
I consider you a genius for being able to figure that out. What I consider.
I mean, I think that I would consider them villains largely because once we get to to Royce, he even says of their group that they were doing something wrong. Like he openly admits what we were doing was wrong in the traditional sense. Oh, and the contemporary sense. wordplay. But yeah, no, like, definitely, they considered themselves evil towards the end as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
You know what? I kind of feel like explaining the story of Transistor is kind of like me when I would get up in front of my class pretending that I read the book and tried to explain what happened. Just based on, like, reading the back cover. Like, yeah, this guy did this and that. I don't know. I was confused.
I mean, we got a back cover's worth of story, so I can't blame you.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I think everybody was kind of responsible in some way for the process. You know, I think letting it become what it was. I think the process definitely has it's sort of metaphorical for. Yeah. You know. Well, I won't go down the political road, but.
For sure.
But I think there's certainly some. Thematic elements in there, I think, pointing
at.
Yeah. And I know the same writer and designer did Bastion, and I interviewed him on Bastion years ago, and he's very, like, very intellectual.
Yeah.
Super nerdy.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, nice guy, but kind of a little bit further from planet Earth than the rest of us, perhaps.
Yeah. See, I kind of think that Grant and Asher, I mean, you know, Chris Clark was saying, you know, how that they all, you know, were kind of villains because they all, you know, did something bad. To me, it almost seemed like Grant, they were trying to make it seem like that Grant and Asher didn't want that as much as Royce did, or they kind of regretted their decision. They kind of regretted what they were doing, almost. You know, I mean, I can't really talk about the girl that was a part of it because she died so early. But, I don't know. I just kind of felt, you know, I kind of felt bad for them and I was sad, you know, but then also it seemed kind of cowardly that they would, you know, kill themselves before facing what they did. But,
well, did you read... So, you can unlock the story of the girl who dies early on.
Yes.
Did you? So, she fell in love with Red, and that's why they targeted Red to kill her. Is because
I didn't get that.
Yeah, you have to. It's so obnoxious. For each one of the things, you have to use it as both an active ability, a passive ability, and an upgrade to get the whole story. Which I'm compulsive, so I got the whole story for each and every one.
Oh my gosh.
I stopped reading those.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. They give us so little story, you have to, like, work so hard for it. So, yeah. The reason why they targeted her specifically is because the girl was in love with her and said, oh, why don't we kill this person?
Oh,
so there was a little petty thing there.
I'm glad you're here.
Holy cow.
I don't like when games do that.
Which, if it's frustrating, because I feel like that's a really interesting plot point.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they had told us that before the boss fight, rather than just like, oh, random girl wants to fight
you. Exactly.
Like, I would have been so invested in that fight. But instead, I was just like, oh, this is mechanically difficult.
Are you talking about,
all that meant to
me. Are you talking about Sybil?
Yeah, Sybil. Yeah. Like, he's the, the female member of the Camarada who's in love with you and very compelling character. But they don't tell you that, you know?
Weird.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with this game, too, is, like, they hide the story in there.
Yeah.
Where it's... And they don't make it obvious to you of, like, how you're progressing the story.
Yeah.
And because they give you so little of the story and you're not quite sure where to look, you just start losing interest in these people.
Yeah. I think there was just no incentive to...
Yeah, exactly.
To read, you know? Like, I read a couple of them, and I was like, oh, this is just an explanation of where the power came from.
Yeah, and it was like, there's no other... Like, who would know that you...
It was only, like, 2 out of the 15 that actually had relevant story information.
Yeah, and
so, unless you're, like, compulsive, like me, then yes, no, there's no reason to read it all.
Exactly, and who would know that you need to... You need to do this stuff in order to... figure out the backstory of the game.
You know, the game... Go ahead, Steph, sorry.
I was going to just exclaim, why would they do that? Like, you know, like, why wouldn't they want to make... Why wouldn't... Because someone took the time to think of all these details. Like, why wouldn't they want to put that a little easier to find?
I think a lot of people like that. I think a lot of... There's an audience that kind of likes the idea of a hidden story and having to play... I mean, I know a lot of people who really enjoyed this game and played it several times. I mean, the game was critically acclaimed. It was received really well.
I mean, I enjoyed it. Probably, you know, I mean, definitely more than, you know, most of us here in this room. But I can't speak for Franco. But, you know, I mean, but...
Franco had a unique experience.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I don't know if I liked it because I was drawn to the character of Red, just because, I don't know, like something...
I liked Red. She was cool.
Yeah, Red and the whole thing between her and Transistor and just figuring out what Transistor was and who it was and just his dialogue with her, I think, was very interesting to me. I think pretty much I liked it mostly because of the dialogue. I found the dialogue very interesting. But yeah, why wouldn't they want that those story bits out there? Oh.
Yeah, it was well written, but it was hard to know what the frick was going on.
Yeah.
The dialogue was good. I didn't enjoy it. I liked Transistor's thought process.
Yeah.
Kind of hearing what he had to say. But
mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about Red a little bit, because one of the topics we have here is the fact that I thought this was probably one of the most interesting parts of the story was the fact that her voice was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
She was this big star, and we may have talked about a little bit about this last time we talked Transistor, but I was thinking about this, like, what are our gifts as people? I mean, everybody has gifts, and so let's take voice, for example. I mean, I know, okay, so I'll just give you a quick example. One of my cousins was, like, a really star athlete and was, like, going to an Ivy League school on, like, a basketball scholarship, and then he got injured and could never play basketball again. And he is still, like, I mean, years and years later, it crushes him because, like, that his skills in basketball were, like, that is what motivated him, and that's what he was, basically.
Yeah.
So my question was, like, if, I mean, her gift was stolen from her, basically, what would that cause you to do? I mean, if that's the one thing you live for, would you seek vengeance, punish those people responsible for it? Maybe let it go? Why or why not, you know?
Let it go.
Yes,
it's a deep question.
It is.
And it points to, I mean, and you know what? As you go through life, that the answer changes. As you're younger, you probably would be more likely to seek out vengeance. And as you ripen on the vine, as they say, you sort of... you realize two things. A, there's not a lot of time left.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's better things to spend your time on.
True. Well, I can say this. If someone cut off my right hand, which is what I use for my art, to draw, I would be very upset. And, yeah. I would be very upset with that someone, and,
Yeah. That someone. It sounds like you have someone specific in mind.
Yeah, well,
someone
does.
I'm just saying. If someone cut off my right hand, they would be held responsible in some way.
I think about that too sometimes. Like, if I ever lost a limb, like an arm or both arms, like, I mean, gaming is a huge part of my life. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't game anymore. I mean, granted, nowadays there's tons of ways you can do it, but I would basically, at 31 years old, have to relearn everything.
Sure.
And I hate that idea.
Yeah.
I probably would, if I could, try everything, but, I mean, it's kind of interesting how, like, you take something like your voice for granted, and if one day it's gone, you know, you have to relearn how to communicate. Or in this case, count on someone else to communicate for you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, Red couldn't even talk back to Transistor, you know? Good thing he wasn't a snarky. If that was me inside that thing, I'd be making jokes and cracking fun at her the whole time.
Tongue, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, that leads to actually an interesting story. You guys know the story about the Dilbert artist?
No. Tell me.
Well, I have to look it up. It's not Douglas Adams. I forget. The guy who draws Dilbert.
Yes.
A while ago, he had a repetitive something just from him drawing all the time. His right hand, he got to the point where he couldn't draw anymore.
Oh, no.
And he literally learned to draw with his left hand. Mm-hmm. And then I think he's to a point where now it's computer assisted, a lot of his drawing. But he's still, it's an interesting story. It's like his dedication to, you know, how you're drawing all these comics constantly. It does, you know, take a toll on you. And he said, you know, he had to give it up for a bit, but then he went back and picked it up with his left hand.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I think Franco brings a good point, though, that it sort of probably changes as you age a bit, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, your values probably become a little bit differently. I guess there's those, like my cousin, who had an unfortunate accident that caused, you know.
Yeah.
Right, if somebody else caused it upon you, you would feel differently.
Exactly. So in this case of the game, I mean, it caused upon her. Maybe that's what maybe even motivated her. Because we don't really know much about Red and why she's... She just starts with the sword in her hand, you know? Killing people.
And do we actually know, like, how did she lose her voice? Like, what happened? They just say, your voice is gone. They don't actually explain...
Didn't it talk about it being stolen or taken from her?
Well, that's all they say, is that it's been stolen from her by the Camarada, but they don't...
I don't...
All we saw is a sword get thrown at her. I don't know how that takes...
I have no idea.
Like, they uninstalled the voice pack.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
Because, I mean, it still seems like everyone's digital in this world.
Yeah, it just seemed like a really important detail to me. Like, even they get to the point where they teach us how to make her hum.
Yeah.
But then... I mean, you can make her hum in time with the music, which is kind of a cool feature, but other than that, it didn't have any more bearing on anything.
That's very true. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, they didn't even cover that. That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, that seems to me like, I mean, even the Little Mermaid, that's the focal point of that. Like, when someone's voice gets stolen, you would think that would be an important detail to cover. But.
Yeah. Well, I know that, like, there were, you know, and this doesn't have anything to do with, like, her voice being stolen, but, you know, wasn't like they were trying to trap Red in the transistor. That's who they were trying to get, right? But instead it got her boyfriend or whatever.
I guess.
I mean, my understanding was that they killed a string of people to get all of them inside the transistor. And she was next in line.
Okay.
You know what, though? At the end, when they show them inside the transistor, it doesn't look so bad. I'd rather be inside the transistor than outside of it.
Oh, yeah. No, were they inside Transistor?
Yeah, that's what I got out of it. Yeah,
that's my question, because, like, they keep talking about going to the country. Like,
that's what I thought it was.
So I thought, like, because it says that their trace has been left.
Like,
so
I think that, like, or something?
I think a digital trace of them is left in the Transistor, but I think the thing we see at the end is them in their version of digital heaven.
Yeah.
The country, you know? Because it's a farm and whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because at one point, one of the guys makes a comment about spending an eternity in the transistor as being something that he would not want to ever do.
Yeah.
Or a life cycle in the transistor. He says something about it.
So I think towards the end that was their country. You know, which sometimes the country is not heaven, guys.
I think it's safe to say this game is open for interpretation.
Yeah, it's left very vague.
It was frustrating. I will say we've already said it a bunch of times, but it made the game hard to proceed through for me. I was just like, I want to know more. I'm not that interested in this. The theme of the game wasn't enough for me. I'm not like a big sci-fi guy, so it's kind of hard to stick with it, you know? But I was hoping for a better story.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing I liked about it was the theme, just how things looked. It was so pretty at some points.
If you liked this, you're going to love Bastion. I mean, it's way more vibrant and beautiful and colorful. Yeah.
I'll have to play it. Okay, moving on to the next question. Feelings on the character Grant. Well, I put Grant, but it's actually Royce. That's who I meant. So feelings on Royce's character. Do you think his idea of scrapping the process and the city and starting over, because he mentions that he wanted to start over with, he wanted to scrap the process, start over with Transistor as the paintbrush. Do you think that would actually work? Do you think those two wrongs would make a right and things would be better if he would get the if he would have gotten the chance to do that? Or I know that he makes a comment when he's talking to you. He says, when everything changes, nothing changes, which I thought was kind of telling. But what do you guys think about his idea?
I don't know. I was trying to kind of perplexed on what he was proposing as the actual deal, with the processes, why they would choose to just go away if maybe that was the deal. If he did, he lets the processes destroy the city, they'll go away and we can rebuild using Transistor.
I'm not even sure I even understand what a future of being made by a transistor would even look like, you know?
She clearly didn't want it.
Yeah.
Oh, it couldn't have been that great.
Yeah, I mean, that was a confusing thing, too, was it she can recreate the world or something in how she chooses, or is it dependent upon how the transistor chooses, or, like, what's actually going on here?
I think the way I was understanding it is it's kind of like the Matrix in that, you can just sort of imagine it and make it appear as they do with the bridge. Like, they go up, she says, make a bridge, and there's a bridge.
Yeah.
Which isn't a power she realizes she has at first until the very end.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really weird because I think what he's saying is basically, like, either we're going to be killed by the process right now, or we're going to do this weird little fight in the digital world and then come back and the process will be gone and we'll rebuild. But I think the reason why she wasn't interested in that is because basically she's coming back as God. Anything she creates, like, is going to be, she's going to know that this is just her creation. Any people she creates to spend time with, anything in this world, like, she's alone in this world.
Yeah.
As the wielder of the transistor, and that's just no fun for anybody.
And we don't really know it's very clear that the the man inside the transistor loves Red because he sells her that. So, but are we to assume that, they had a previous relationship, right? Because he's the guy who jumped in front of her, the sword.
Yes.
So either he just was a guy who came and observed her singing and just loved her and jumped in front of the sword for her, or, do you think that she then fell in love with him through this whole thing they went through? And then
I was under the understanding that they were something before it all happened.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at during the end credits, you see these images of them in all these intimate situations.
That's true.
So I think that they did actually have a real relationship. I think
I thought that was the transistor creating a scenario.
Friends having fun.
Okay. No, that's my message notification.
Okay.
Homer Simpson. I would have loved to have you don't really find out about that relationship until the end. It's like,
I know.
Gee, if you're giving me some of those pictures, you know, at breaks in the game, I would have been more drawn into their relationship.
Yeah,
a little bit of backstory kind of sprinkled in there would have been nice. Yeah, I think and going along with that, like, that was one of my kind of interesting things towards the end of the game is when you start, and I think you kind of mentioned this last week, Chris, but Bowden. I mean, but anyways,
Sorry. Just say Chris.
Jeez Louise. Anyways, but like towards the end when Red is communicating with OVC, she starts communicating with Transistor directly. And so, yeah, she's typing in things and Transistor answers. Right. And it does that more towards the end of the game than it does towards the beginning.
Right.
And so towards the end, when there's no polls or anything to do, she's just typing stuff in response to what Transistor is saying to her. And I found that really, you know, poignant. But again, I wish that there was more of that kind of put throughout the game rather than just...
Because that's when I bought some... Yeah, that's when I pretty much started to realize that that was what was going on. It was like halfway through the game. And you're like, oh, she's communicating. This is cool. I like this. There's some dialogue now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we talked about themes a little bit. So, themes or ideas from the game. So, the setting or the world or whatever. Did any of these kind of make you think or resonate with you at all? Ever think about like a future of machines with all the AIs we have going on now? Do you ever think that the idea of a process in America is not too far in the future?
Yeah.
I know it's kind of crazy, but is
it? I don't think it's too crazy.
I mean, it's happening now in an observational mode. I mean, especially more so in Britain. I mean, the UK has got surveillance cameras everywhere. There is literally not a square foot you can stand in the UK without being on a surveillance camera. When that reaches, it'll get scarier when that reaches an enforcement mode. You know, if there's an AI connected drone, bot, whatever, that has some sort of interactivity, you know, can have an interaction with you, like stop, or what are you doing, or something like that, that's when it's going to get scary, you know.
Yeah.
I think it definitely made me feel uneasy, and I think that was what they were going for.
Yeah.
You definitely feel alone, you know, it's just you versus the process, and Transistor can only do so much.
Yeah.
And so you definitely do feel isolated and kind of like everyone is trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no one you can trust. So those themes, I think they executed them well because I definitely felt them.
Yeah.
I'd say certainly gaming, I think they were successful with pulling their card. Anybody else feel that way?
I did note the the isolation, and I was just trying to didn't quite understand it in the game. Where is everybody else? I mean, you know, why is she wandering the streets alone?
Well, again, because they don't tell you towards the very end that everyone was evacuated.
Yeah, a little help with the storytelling.
Go ahead, Frank. No, go ahead.
It is an interesting side commentary that, you know, with the advances in technology that we've had, in some ways we do become more isolated. It's sort of like a double-edged sword. I mean, now we're more connected. I mean, I've connected with you and I've connected with other people, but it's at a distance. It's at arm's length. That human interaction is suffering a little because of this other interaction.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, I think one thing that, I think I kind of mentioned this last week too, was the one thing that really, I think, kind of made me think was like, was especially towards the beginning, you noticed it because things were, not towards the beginning, about halfway through the game, But, like, you know, at first you're going through, you know, Cloud Bank, and it looks, you know, very interesting. Like, everything kind of has, like, a jazzy feel, but still kind of modern and, you know, and technologically advanced, but it still has a distinct flavor. Like, the buildings, you know, all kind of look very, distinct. But then I think what really got me is, you know, halfway through, you start seeing, you know, it shifts kind of slowly, you know, kind of gradually, actually, into the kind of white, very stark white, you know, cookie cutter, right, kind of very barren. Nothing is just, you know, nothing is as pretty or as distinct as it was before. And it kind of made me think, well, that's, you know, it's very true. Like, you know, I mean, even now, you know, people putting up high rises, and there's no distinction to high rises. There's no distinction to these new buildings they're building in cities and or even in smaller communities. Like, you know, they put up cookie cutter houses. You know, we're kind of losing that distinction, you know, that we had, say, you know, 40, 50 years ago.
That's true. That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in the, I grew up in Philadelphia, and some of the old, not necessarily the row homes, but, you know, the older neighborhoods had some magnificent townhomes, and they were just, you know, creative and what they did with the spaces and stuff, and it's like, you know, as we compress and we just get in a rush to build things, it becomes cookie cutter, and you lose that, you know, individual flair.
Yeah.
Well, with what remaining time we have, we'll talk briefly about the ending, with particularly Red's suicide, and then we'll give our final score. How's that sound? And then Steph can talk about To the Moon. Let's just talk about the suicide. I mean, personally, I'll start because I'm already talking. But I thought that I was okay with it. Of course, I don't endorse suicide in any capacity, but I thought for the way the game was going, the theme, you know, the storyline from what I had to work with, I thought it was... I gave it a pass. I was okay with it.
Yeah.
It was sad. It was really sad. Kind of tragic and just...
Yeah.
Heart-wrenching, but... I don't know. I thought it was okay. I was okay with it.
At first, I was, a little put off by it. I really, though, from a dramatic standpoint, I really enjoyed Transistor's reaction to it, to him seeing what she was going to do.
Yes.
That was really well done.
Yeah, that was well done.
And I generally, it's on board with everybody. It's like, I disagree with that option. But as you get away from it, and you start realizing, okay, it's a game, relax, calm down. it's like, okay, I understand why. I don't, you know, would I make the same choice? That's a very, you know, probably not, but.
We can't really speak to that, of course, because we're not there.
Right.
I think the bottom line was like, Red knew, not to steamroll over your comment, but Red knew she was the only one left.
Yeah,
she loved Transistor. She knew she could be with him.
Yeah,
there was really nothing else to live for. She could paint this perfect world back to order, but there would be no one to enjoy it with.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever endorse suicide, but again, for the game, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it made sense in the context of the game. I just wish that the context of the game had been a little bit more clear, because, I mean, as we've said a million times already, The ending left a lot very ambiguous. So if my understanding and what seems to be our understanding is correct, that she was the last one left, she was facing basically like apocalypse lone survivor scenario, then that seems like obviously the best option. But I felt really confused more than anything else the second that I realized that she was about to stab herself, and then when it happened I was just like, I just wish that it would have been more... It would have made more sense if the rest of the game had made more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I was just ready for it to be over.
I was too.
I was she.
Yes, so was she.
So it's very good, yes.
I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Life is Strange, I will say that. I definitely enjoyed it more than White Knight.
Yes.
Well, that's not saying much.
I know. I think I died more in White Knight, but it wasn't a horrible game. All right, so let's if no one else has anything to share, Frank, you weren't here for the first one, so we go around and rate the game out of 10, so you can do an even number or a 0.5 number, and then we put the score up on our Facebook page. So we'll start with, let's just go down the line. Let's start with Chris Clark. Last final thoughts.
I mean, final thoughts, I think that there were a lot of really good ideas here that just weren't executed well. A lot of good story ideas that weren't presented well. You know, a lot of things that could have been done better. But
let them in.
Still really liked it. I'd give it a 6 out of 10, I guess. Which is unfortunate, because I think that there was higher level material that just wasn't presented well. So, 6 out of 10.
Okay. Franco.
Actually, I was going to come in at about the 6.5. And if it had a good story and was a little longer, a little more diverse and filled out in the gameplay, the enemies did get a little repetitive, and the format did get a little repetitive. So I would have given it a 7.5 if it had more, fleshed out the story better. But 6.5 we'll stick with.
Yeah.
All right. Who's up next? Chris. Do you even need to rate this game?
So, I will say this, it felt like they were trying to go for a Bastion 2, but with adding a different gaming mechanic and narrative. And you can clearly tell that they carried over a bunch of stuff from Bastion. I just wish they kind of did something different and not have... if it wasn't going to be a Bastion, not have someone narrating everything as you go along. And it feels like they were trying to get somewhere, but they didn't quite get there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was really explained or fleshed out or, anything like that. And it feels like you need a second playthrough to really understand what you're doing, but then at that point you're just kind of bored and tired with it. With that I would give it a 6.
Okay. And then I thought you'd do. Proud of you.
Nice. Final thoughts. I enjoyed the theme. I enjoyed the characters of Red and Transistor, whatever his name was, when he wasn't Transistor. Chris was saying, one of the Chris's, that there was a lot in the story that they could have done, and like, I feel like somewhere the story was written out and it was a beautiful story, but it just somehow got lost in translation, and I just wish that there was more, but I did enjoy it. I walked away from it glad that I had played it. And so I'm going to give it a 7.
Cool. Wow. I actually gave it the higher score. I'm giving it a 7.5. Go all figure. Right. Actually, I didn't love the game, but I didn't hate it. I think having come from Bastion, and again, it's one of these things where like, well, can we compare it to Bastion? I think absolutely we can. It's the same developer. It's basically a carbon copy of Bastion. I think the difference with Bastion is the narrator in Bastion was more of a narrator. He was telling the story about the kid, and as you manipulated the world, he would kind of change what he said, which is kind of cool. And of course, in Transistor, you're talking directly to Transistor.
Yeah.
But and again, we've already belabored the point that the story is terrible, fleshed out, and it's just not coherent. I think for me, what really did it, I actually enjoyed the customization of the trying to like mix different things together and see what kind of result that I got. I never knew what the crap I did, and I always forgot which ones were awesome. And when I, like I said, when I lost one, forget it. I just wanted to quit. but I liked that. I did not like the menu. I hated the interface. I thought it was really convoluted and confusing. I didn't know how to play for the first third of the game. But I thought that some of the graphics were really pretty. I liked the artwork in the cutscenes. I thought that the writing was solid when it was telling a story. The voice acting was great and on point. Transistor was very believable, and I, like Frank said, that whole end where he was just begging her to not do it, I thought that was really powerful. So I think overall, I mean, storyline aside, the game isn't too bad. I gave it a 7.5. So. My final thoughts.
All right.
Hit it up, Steph. What do we got?
Yeah. So next up, of course, like I announced last week, is To the Moon. You can buy it on Steam. I think $10. I think if I remember that's the price for it. We are playing Act 1. So when you get to Act 2, and it will say like Act 2 on the screen, stop.
We get to Act 2, stop.
Once you get to Act 2, stop. Because there's three acts, but Acts 2 and 3 are about the same length as Act 1, because Act 1 is about half of the story. So, just play Act 1, and that's what we'll be discussing next week. But
how long was it, so you said?
For me? For me, it was... I had it written down somewhere. But I'm thinking, like... 4 hours and 45 minutes was how long it took me to play.
Easy to do in a week, I think. So was everybody, or I should say, Steph, compared to what we've been saying about Transistor Story, will we be satisfied with...
I think you'll be very satisfied with To the Moon. To the Moon has a lovely story. I think a couple of you have played it, but... The story is beautiful. I cried like a child at the end of it, so.
Who here has played it through it other than Steph?
I played through it. I loved it, so it's really, really great.
Are you going to play it again with us, or are you going to just go?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play through it again, and I'm going to cry again, and it's going to be all right.
Yeah, all right. And supposedly they titled it Episode 1, so there's definitely, I said this towards the end, there's definitely room for continuation.
Yeah, I've been following the developer because he does a few really interesting things, and he has been working very slowly on the follow-up to this game.
Good.
Cool.
Good for him. Yeah.
All right. So next week, we will have the next game announced.
Yes.
We'll let you know.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. If there's no final thoughts, we will wrap and call it a night.
Thank you.
Great.
That's good.
Thanks, everyone. Yep. See you next week.
Bye, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a good one.